Welcome, everyone, to the Sonic Temple Podcast. I'm Francis.
And I'm Jeff.
Today we have Harrison Snow with us to discuss American Woman, the version by Lenny Kravitz.
And because I know our guest very well, I was led to pick Green Day's Stab You in the Heart.
Which led me to go with Shaken All Over by Johnny Kidd and the Pirates. This is being recorded on November 1st, 2021, a.k.a.
Harry's 11th birthday. Happy birthday, Harry.
Thanks.
All right, welcome everybody to a very special edition of the Sonic Temple Podcast. Very special because today we are joined by my son, Harrison Snow, on the occasion of his 11th birthday. Harry, it's great to have you here with us to formally talk about music. One of my favorite things about being your dad is getting to talk about music with you all the time, in the car, at home. You have incredible taste in music, and it is one of the great joys of my life to watch you develop your taste and to learn which artist you like and which artist you don't necessarily like at this time, but will certainly grow into, Tom Petty. But for right now, you have selected, I believe, one of your favorite artists. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, and tell us, Harry, who you want to talk about.
So I chose American Woman by Lenny Kravitz.
All right, so let's get into it and let's talk it out, Harry. What do you love about this song?
Well, for one, it's one of his biggest hits.
Correct.
Yep.
He used a lot of like different stuff in the song, like how to disguise his voice, to change the sound of the guitar. And there's a lot of good guitar parts in it.
There are a lot of good guitar parts.
His tone is really, really good on that.
Yeah, and a lot of great effects on his voice. Mm-hmm. You're right. He does distort his voice a lot in it.
Yeah.
Harry, we've also listened to the original version. Who's that by?
But guess who? I am not listening to that song ever again.
Nope.
Not a fan of the Guess Who version, Harry?
Nope.
Why not?
Well, for one, their different musicals is a lot, well, I would say different from what I like.
Right.
From my taste.
What's different?
Well, the fact that Lenny is a good singer and their singer isn't.
Oh, that's shots fired. That was pretty early. Okay. I think he is a good singer.
You could have seen that coming, though.
Okay. So no disrespect to Burton Cummings here. I think you're a fine singer, but Harry's tastes tend to lean towards Lenny, I guess. Let's go back to American Woman for a second, if we get the Lenny Kravitz version. How did you... I mean, I play you a lot of music in the car, a lot, but I didn't play you this song. So how did you originally come across this song?
Well, first it appeared on my favorite show, The Masked Singer.
Oh.
It was sung by the champion, T-Pain, and then I heard it on the radio.
Wait, it was sung by who?
T-Pain. He was the champion. He won, remember?
Okay, I don't remember, but okay. Yeah, T-Pain. All right.
Okay, then I heard it on the radio sometimes, and then I eventually asked you to add it on my list.
Yep.
But then you got me into Are You Gonna Go My Way?
I did. Mm. I did.
That's a good, and thank goodness you did.
It's a good dad move. Yeah. Yeah. Thank goodness I did. Thank you, Harry. I appreciate the credit there. Yeah. Well, Lenny's got a lot of great songs. I mean, mm-hmm. he's a phenomenal artist. One of the things, Harry, that I learned, because we have to do this in the Sonic Temple, is we do our research when a guest picks a song. So I was doing some research on
Especially when Nathan came on. You were all research.
I did not know anything about Nathan's
song.
Yeah,
same here. Yeah. There's a lot of research.
Yep, you're right. You are right about that. But I had to do some for yours, too. And one of the cool things I learned is that Lenny Kravitz won 4 Grammys in a row. Like 4 consecutive years for Best Male Vocal.
Yeah, I remember that.
And one of them was for American Woman. That's a record, I believe, that still stands.
Wow.
No one else has done that 4 consecutive years. So pretty incredible. Obviously, an amazing artist, right?
Unlike Tom Petty.
Again, shots fired. He's brutal. He's brutal, folks.
I'm just trying to prove everyone I'm not like Tom Petty after what he said in the intro.
This is going to haunt you when you get older.
I know. That's true. All right. So going back to American Woman again, one of the interesting things I noticed, Francis and listeners, is that if you compare the two versions... Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference.
What's the big difference that you noticed?
The guitar lick.
Yeah, the guitar lick
They're
is missing.
They're different bands.
Well, they are different bands. But yeah, the guitar lick.
The signature guitar lick from the original one. That...
Oh, well, Lenny changed. Well, he also
changes the riff.
He changes the main riff. You're
right.
Welcome.
Yeah.
It goes da na 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 na. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And it's Lenny slower. It's a slower pace.
But Lenny changes it to da na 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 na. So he changes that last beat from na na to na na. So, and then you get that big ooh. And Harry, who does the ooh on the song?
Stephen Dorff, right?
Harry got it.
Ah.
It's Stephen Dorff. So, yeah. So, Stephen.
I've been doing research on how to make Megadeth feel really mad.
Yeah, keep talking trash about Tom Petty.
Good.
Okay, so we didn't finish on the Stephen Dorff thing real quick. So Stephen Dorff also is in the movie. He plays one of the Beatles in the movie Backbeat. And so I almost picked any number of artists that were involved.
Oh, I thought
you
were going to say you almost picked something from the Blade soundtrack.
No.
Because he was a vampire.
Oh, no. No, from the Backbeat soundtrack, which is an incredible soundtrack. Absolutely amazing soundtrack with Dave Grohl on drums and Mike Mills from REM on bass and Dave Perner on vocals. And I think Greg Dooley's in that band. Like, it's unbelievable. But anyway, I digress.
Oh, saying that Stephen Dorff did the additional vocals on this?
He did the,
Okay.
That's it.
And that's
all
it.
I did.
Yeah, like I was looking. So Lenny Kravitz played everything on the song except the bass Moog.
Okay.
Here at the very end, like it's like faint.
Right.
Like it's like over there in the mix. But he played like everything on the song?
Yeah.
Drum, guitar, bass.
You know,
does he do that a lot?
He does that a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like...
I'm very unfamiliar with
Lenny
Kravitz.
He's like Prince. Oh, yeah. Total Prince vibe coming off him, right? I mean, he is... I feel like I say this in every single episode.
One of a kind?
He's one of a kind, but he's also one of my favorite drummers.
Okay.
Like, Lenny is... Yeah. And
really?
And Prince. Yeah, really. You know why, Harry? I'll tell you exactly why. Because those guys... are such great songwriters that they know exactly how to play for the song. So they may not be flashy. They may not be like Keith Moon or like Neil Peart.
But they know when to hold back to play what's right for the song.
Yeah. And so I love them.
That's a different
gift.
I
love them. Yeah, very much.
It's a different skill, if you will.
Yep. When I recorded Needlebed with John Ralston, I was listening almost exclusively to Lenny Kravitz and like catching his vibe. Totally. So the other cool thing about that is that if you listen to the drums in this song, they don't change the entire time. In fact, it might be a loop. It might not be. I don't know how he recorded it. But there's no fills. So that's very different from the original too. The cool thing about this song is its sparsity.
Very simplified.
Yeah. I mean, there are entire points of the verses where every instrument drops out and it's just drums and vocal, not even a bass in there. And that's very unique and something you don't hear a lot of on rock radio. You know? So it really makes this song stand out.
Now, do you think, theory here, it's so simplified because it was an assignment for a movie soundtrack?
Yeah.
You know, Austin Powers, the second one, The Spy with Shagney.
Yeah.
And it's on the soundtrack and you get this assignment like, hey, can you do this song?
Yeah.
You're not going to spend as much time on it as you would an album.
Right.
So I wonder if that lends to that.
I think
more
so.
Simpleness to it to just.
Totally.
Yeah, I can do that. Let me just spend a few days and
crank it out.
I think so.
And it turned out to be a massive hit and he won a Grammy.
Right.
So, hey, there you go.
And then they had to reissue the other album to add it to it.
Well, that's the really smart thing that he did. A lot of bands back in that specific time of like the 90s, especially when soundtracks were so big and you were getting gold records left and right if you had a song on a soundtrack, a lot of bands weren't re-releasing the song on their own album.
Right.
And it just ended up costing them millions of dollars because they should have.
Right.
And so it was really, really smart of.
That's
of
one reason I really like soundtracks, as you can tell by that room back there.
Yeah.
Because you get songs that either come like between certain albums or you get songs like covers that you normally wouldn't get otherwise, which is very cool. Like,
totally.
Like, what's White Zombie from the Airhead soundtrack, The Feed the Gods, one of my favorite songs.
Oh, right,
and it's
like
one of those like post Los Exorcisto, but before Astro Creep.
Yeah.
And so you get like that. Time in the band where they're like working on stuff and it just comes out. So that's
totally
one reason I like soundtracks, and this song is another example of why that works.
Absolutely. Harry, anything else you want to say about American Woman?
No, basically tell everything I know about it and why I like it.
What's your favorite part of the song?
I like him when he disguises his voice at the very end.
That is a cool part where the effects come in real heavy on his voice. Definitely. I think that part drives your mom nuts, but that might also be why.
I'll take it any day.
That might be why you like it. Exactly.
Well, that's one reason.
But Harry, you said you didn't like the Guess Who version at all? You didn't like anything from that song? Not even the guitar lick?
No.
Oh, all right. All right.
You know, we watched the video of the Guess Who version.
Okay.
We watched both videos, the Lenny Kravitz version, which has Heather Graham in it.
Beautiful.
And she's also in the Austin Powers movies. There's a nice tie in there.
Right.
Harry, what kind of guitar is he playing in the American Woman video?
Flying V.
That's right. That's my boy right there, ladies and gentlemen. Looking very cool with the Flying V. But we watched the Guess Who version. Not cool. You just feel bad. Like,
I get it.
Randy Bachman's up there looking like John Belushi and
That was the 70s, Dan.
It was the 70s. Like, he's got like the sweater on from Animal House. He just looks like John Belushi from Animal House. It's not cool. And Burton Cummings, who has a nice voice, I will argue, but looks like a very low rent Jim Morrison with like no personality.
Yeah. Well, back then you just needed to sound good for the radio. You didn't really need to look good for music videos or anything.
Right. No, totally. Totally. It's a very awkward video. So maybe that's why Harry doesn't like it. Maybe he's like me. He listens with his eyes too.
I will say with the original Guess Who version, I'm not a fan of the whole minute and a half acoustic intro to it. There has to be a radio edit out there that just starts.
Oh, there is. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Because I always listen to the album version. It's like, all right, I'm going to skip the minute and the 15 here. Okay, let's get the song going.
Yeah. Harry, when you picked American Woman.
Was the song you knew I was going to pick?
I did not know that you were going to pick it.
Do you know me?
I do know you. And I know a lot of songs that you like. I thought you could have picked a Metallica song. I thought you were going to pick Ace of Spades by Motorhead. That's what I thought you were going to pick. But it's fine. You picked American Woman. And then I had to figure out, okay, how can I connect American Woman and Lenny Kravitz to Metallica? And the answer is you can't, as far as I could tell. I just couldn't get there. But through the soundtrack that Francis was talking about, There's another band on that soundtrack who happened to be one of your favorite bands, and that band is Green Day.
That's the connection.
So that's the connection to Green Day. And I went with one of their new songs off their latest album.
And my favorite.
And your favorite, which is called?
Stab You in the Heart.
Stab You in the Heart. Yeah.
Good song.
It's a song written for an 11-year-old boy.
And the reason I like it, one of the reasons, it sounds nothing like them.
It is a very unique sounding record for them. Yeah, and a lot of that might have to do with the producer. Who's the producer on that record?
Butch Walker.
Butch Walker. That's my man right there. Yes. Yes, indeed. And I think Butch made an incredible record with Green Day. And it's one of the great joys of being Harrison's father is that he makes me listen to, or he inspires me to listen to new albums by bands that he likes,
right?
That we like. So we've been listening a lot lately to this record.
Mm-hmm.
We've been listening to the new Cheap Trick record, which is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
So good, right? What's your favorite song on there?
Light Up the Fire.
Light Up the Fire. That's a good song.
You have to check that out.
And we've been listening to the new AC/DC.
I like that one.
It's incredible.
I am not as dark as I seem.
You're not as dark as you seem. So, you know, that's not something that I would normally do, really. I'm sort of ashamed to say that, but because Harry's a fan of these bands as well, it makes me, I get all excited when they put out a new record, and they've been great. So this record came out, and man, it is a barn burner from the word go. And this song especially has a very old school vibe to it.
Oh yeah.
I mean, totally. It is basically the riff from Little Richard's Tutti Frutti.
She rocked to the east, she rocked to the west, but she's the gal that I love best. Tutti Frutti, oh Rudy. Tutti Frutti, oh Rudy. Tutti Frutti, oh Rudy. Tutti Frutti, oh Rudy.
They just amp it up to like 100.
I'd also say it's definitely a straight up hippie shake.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Like a straight up cover of the hippie shake. Just
absolutely.
Or pastiche, if you will. Change the lyrics and you're good.
So here's something I learned, Harry, today, again, doing research, is that this song came from another song that Billy Joe Armstrong wrote, You Broke My Heart. So it's a little bit different, not Stab You in the Heart, but You Broke My Heart. It was from a 2015 musical about the Beatles. Isn't that cool? It was actually, it's called These Paper Bullets. And the tagline is a modish ripoff of Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing. So it's like the Beatles and Shakespeare in this musical with like old 60s rock and roll.
Yeah, like early 60s. Yeah.
And Billy Joe wrote a song. And so you see, it sounds almost identical to the version that they actually ended up sort of they tweaked it, and Butch Walker made it a lot louder and put a lot more guts into it. But very cool that they were able to repurpose this song.
Yeah, it's definitely an homage to early rock and roll.
Oh, for sure. This is your favorite song. What's your why?
Well, it's got a big scream in it.
It does have the, it's got that like Little Richard, Paul McCartney. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think I can't prove this, but I'm pretty sure my gut tells me that's Butch Walker screaming that. I think, yeah, he can do
it. I can't.
I know he can do it. That's why I think it's him. No, you can't. I can't either. It's a hard thing to do. What else do you like about the song, Harry?
Well, Trey goes wild again.
Trey? Who's Trey?
Trey Cole.
Who's that?
My favorite drummer.
Yeah, it's your favorite drummer? Trey Cole? Why is he your favorite drummer?
He has a lot of cool fills.
He does.
He can go really fast.
He does.
Basically, he was actually like the first punk rock drummer I ever heard and the first drummer I really liked.
That's true. Okay. That's true.
You gotta go with what gets you into the game.
That's it. That's it. Right there. Very cool. Francis, any thoughts on this?
Just like when I heard it, I was like, it took me about a day to nail it down that it was like, okay, it's the hippie shake.
Right.
This is what we're going, you know, that was originally done by Chan Romero.
Yeah.
In 59. With this hippie shake. And then made popular in 63, 64 by the Swinging Blue Jeans.
Okay.
Which was, you know, part of that first wave of British invasion bands.
Right.
It's like you got Beatles, Dusty Springfield,
yeah.
Swinging Blue Jeans. Like, goodness sake, I got the hippie shakes. Yeah, I got the shakes. I got the hippie shakes. Oh, I can't sit still.
I don't know why, but if that's not the Beatles.
It's not the Beatles.
It's not, but then the Beatles actually did the hippie shake on the like part of their live set.
Yeah.
And I think it ended up coming out later on like one of the live at BBC's or something like
okay.
that.
Okay.
Anything else you want to say about Green Day?
No, just that I love that my son loves Green Day.
Did you guys ever get to go see him live?
You know, we haven't got to see him live. So I was supposed to see them at Lollapalooza 94, but that was 2 days after they got in the mudslinging fight at Woodstock.
Okay.
And then the bass player, Mike, like busted his teeth out slipping around on mud.
I still don't get why that would cancel it. He plays guitar.
You're right. Yeah. I agree with you, yeah. Harry. You
should like suck it up and go play the show, man.
Yeah. You're just a bass player.
Be Dave Grohl for once.
Be Dave Grohl for once. That's right.
Yeah.
Well said, Harry. The show must go on. Exactly. That's what I say.
So suck it up.
That was my only attempt to see them. But hopefully one day soon, Harry and I will get to go.
So, Harry, when you picked American Woman, I went back. And of course, as we talked about, the Guess Who did American Woman. But the Guess Who, their first hit was a cover of Shaken All Over. But I went with the original version, which I think is better. By Johnny Kidd and the Pirates, called Shaken All Over from 1960. Pirates, you're in for a treat. This is like post first wave of American rock and roll.
Almost before the Beatles, I think.
Definitely before the Beatles. Yep. Yeah, this is that first wave of rock and roll hitting England. Because this is they're like late 50s, early 60s, and then you'd get to the Beatles and like maybe like, yeah, like 2 or 3 years later. But yeah, let's talk about the band that's actually playing on this song.
Tell me.
Oh, we have on bass, Brian Gregg. On drums, Clem Cattini. Do you know about Clem?
I don't know anything about Clem.
Who's Clem?
He played drums for the Tornadoes.
Okay.
Which did the song Telestar.
Okay.
Basically, he was like a big UK session drummer. He's played with the Kinks, Herman Hermits, Bee Gees, Lou Reed, Dusty Springfield, Tom Jones, Hollies, Jeff Beck, Yardbirds, Paul McCartney.
Okay.
Yeah. He's played with some people.
Are the guy King the Pirates an England band or an American band?
Yeah, they are a British band.
Yeah.
I knew that.
You picked it
awesome.
Up.
Awesome.
Good.
Yeah, and then, so basically he ended up being a big session guy.
Yeah, totally.
So he started basically with this. I think he also played around with like Gene Vincent and stuff. Like when they would do like those early rock and roll tours around Britain.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know his name because, Harry, what's the best part of this song?
When he does the drum fill?
The drum fill. That yes, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
For you, that is.
For me and for you.
I like the drum part. I mean, the guitar part in this.
Oh, true. Do you? All right. All right.
My
switch,
man. All
switching
right.
teams. All right.
You're the lone wolf right now, then.
I'm the lone wolf.
Just get used to it.
On guitar, you have Alan Caddy, who would also play with the Tornadoes. Basically, like this lineup of the Pirates, if you will, would eventually become the Tornadoes and then go and record Telstar. But they brought in this guy, Joe Moretti, to play the lead parts on this song,
right,
which is your killer guitar lick. And he also played on Vince Taylor's Brand New Cadillac.
Okay. It's a lot of crack players.
They would go on become the Tornadoes, which would be like a house band for Joe Meeks. And then Joe Meeks is like this crazy producer guy.
You know way more about this stuff than I do, man. This is all new to me.
Yeah.
Well, once you're not the lone wolf.
Okay.
And then when we go into the singer, whose real name is Frederick Heath, aka Johnny Kidd. So late 50s to 66, this was like his band. And basically, I think it's the forebearer to the British invasion. Like this band.
Right.
They just showed up a little too early.
Yeah.
But they helped, you know, pave the way for. And it's also like, I think one thing that we mentioned before, we don't know about songs because of regional.
Yeah.
Like all the way to the 90s. Think about like 1960. Like,
oh, sure. Yeah.
If it,
these records weren't making their way.
It somehow made their way to Canada for the Guess Who to cover it, but
right.
it didn't make their way all across the States. Being regional, it's tough, you know?
Yeah.
To get around. And so, you know, until the Beatles changed that and brought them all over.
Sure.
Another part about being too early is this guy was also doing takes on US blues and R&B like Willie Dixon and Bo Diddley.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
I did
like
read
a year
that.
Or two before like the Stones would do that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, totally. Well, and also, can we please mention the pirate attire?
Yeah.
Because
paving the way for like Alice Cooper and
Alice Cooper,
like
but also like Johnny Thunders and his
Paul Revere and the Raiders.
And Paul Revere and the Raiders. And, you know, all the hair bands that I grew up in who just love to wear pirate shirts and
Adamant.
Michael Jackson. Adamant. Like I mean, for real. Like I don't know if he was the first, but he's certainly on the front end of it. We have him to
one
thank.
Thing.
Yes, Harry.
My Hammond. You mean like the real really cool that have metal bands or the bands that have long hair like you when you were a kid and Georgina kept cutting it.
Yes, I mean the really cool bands, but also like me when I was a kid. Yes. Thank you, Harry.
You're still a lone wolf.
Let's go into the song.
Yeah.
The actual meat and potatoes of this song. To me, it's a perfect song. I can't find any flaws with this song.
Sure. Harry, what'd you think when we listened to the original version of the song?
Well, for one, I still can't believe the song is before the Beatles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it came out after the Beatles.
Yeah.
Because it sounds a whole lot more, I'm saying, like, rocking on my mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially after they turn punk rock.
Sure.
Oh, my goodness.
But that great guitar lick.
Sure. Which he played with a lighter.
Yeah.
I heard, right? The slide part.
Quivers down the backbone. I got the shakes down the knee bone. Yeah, the tremors in the thigh bone. Shaking all over.
And just like you have the call and response aspect of like that, and then everything drops and you see the shaking all over.
Yeah. I mean, this song's an earworm for sure. It gets stuck in your head.
Yeah, the bass drum and that high pitch, like the rhythm guitar, just like those high, like muted notes. That...
Totally.
What I love about that is just it creates so much space in the song.
Yeah.
And just lets everything breathe, which unlike the Guess Who version, which it's fine. I'm not a big fan of it, but... They throw too much in. You don't get that space.
Right.
As you do with this song.
Well, if you want to talk about throwing too much in and not giving the song space, try listening to The Who's version off Live at Leeds. Harry and I listened to that on the way over.
Which Who, though?
Which Who?
The Who?
Not the Guess Who, but The Who. What were your thoughts on that version, Harry?
They really do whatever they want to do.
They do whatever they want to do.
They really do.
Yes, they do.
One of the things I read was the reason that they did that at Leeds and started doing Shaking All Over is because people would get confused between Guess Who and The Who. So at Who shows, they would be asking them, like screaming at them to play Shaking All Over.
Is that right?
This is the Guess Who. So they just started covering the song.
Oh, that's funny.
I don't know if that's legit or folklore or what, but...
It's a good story.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
As of this time, people kind of knew it was them.
Well, as soon as the Who starts playing, you know it's the Who. That's right.
Oh.
And you know from very far away because they're very loud.
Yeah, indeed.
Who's loud?
The Who.
The Who. They're very loud.
Who?
That's what they were known for.
Harry's going into his Abbott and Costello bit here.
I do my best.
So, Jeff, do you want to break down that little drum break, the little fill?
I think Harry just
did it. I didn't
get
it, but you're welcome.
You're pretty close. You're pretty close.
Shaking all over.
I don't know how to make sense of this. If you gave me this song and said, we're going to give you 8 bars in the middle of it, just do a fill, I would play this song 750 times without ever playing what he plays on the record. I don't know how this makes sense. It doesn't make sense, but it's perfect. Yeah. I mean, it's
the perfect leadway into that guitar solo, which
yeah.
As for a guitar solo, it's great.
Shaking all over.
was great. Like, it's just like sliding up to like the same note, just little arpeggios, and just technique wise, ooh,
yeah,
very good.
Oh yeah, well, he was a pro. That's why they brought him in.
They were still in the 70s. They still really knew rock and roll.
Yeah,
well, and you're coming with that.
Well, this was 1960, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
So basically, right after the whole Elvis, Little Richard, that whole wave.
Yeah,
and then in Britain, this is very. New. They just got these records and they're starting to make sense of it and doing their own thing.
Yeah. It had everything going for it. And then you got the Guess Who covering it. You have the Who covering it. Yeah. It's a fantastic pick, Francis. I really enjoyed getting to know about Johnny Kidd and the Pirates. It's not a band I knew anything about. All right. We've sort of talked around the Beatles a lot in this episode. Stephen Dorff in the doing the grunting in American Woman, being in the Backbeat movie. We talked a lot about the Beatles here with Johnny Kidd and the Pirates. Even Stab You in the Heart has the Paul McCartney Little Richard scream. So we've talked a lot about the Beatles. I almost picked a Beatles song, but I thought that would be too easy. But you know, our guest here is named Harrison. For a very specific reason, and that's because...
You probably got that now.
You probably got that now. We are big Beatles fans in my house. And so Harry's grown up with a lot of Beatles swirling around the atmosphere of our house. And so I thought it might be fun just to close out this very special edition of the Sonic Temple podcast with a little Beatles trivia. What do you say, Harry? You up for it?
Yeah.
Francis,
let's do it.
All right. So, gentlemen, let me break down the rules for you. This is how it's going to go. You're each going to get 5 questions. All right. And I'll call on you when it's your turn. You get 1 point for a correct response. And if you get it wrong, the other person can steal and take that point.
Fair enough.
And at the end of the round, we'll total it up, which means I'm going to have to do math. The winner will also get the title. The Knight of the Sonic Temple.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'm going to ask for complete silence while the other person is answering. Let's be respectful here. Let's have a fair fight. You ready? Yeah. All right. Question number 1 goes to Harrison. What was the original name of the Beatles?
The Silver Beatles.
Ding, 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 ding. Good job. The Silver Beatles. Do you know why they changed the name, Harry?
Because it was too long.
That's it.
Yeah, it makes
very
sense.
Very good. All right. Sense. Question number 2 goes to Francis. What year did the Beatles first come to America?
Yeah, I don't know. 64? I don't know.
That is correct.
Ding, 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 ding. That's correct.
What?
Yeah. All right. Because you guessed well.
Good thing. I did not know that.
You knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I totally guessed.
I love 1970.
My Beatles knowledge is the pits.
Oh, you got it though. Don't.
Well, this is good for me.
All right. Question number 2 goes to Harry.
You mean 3.
Question number 3. Sorry. You are correct. Name the first bass player and the first drummer for the Beatles.
Stuart Sutcliffe, Pete Best.
Stuart Sutcliffe and Pete Best is correct.
Correctamundo.
Good job, Harrison.
Love that. They fired Pete, but they didn't want to do it themselves.
That is correct. All right. Question number 4 goes to Francis.
All right.
One of the Beatles had been to the United States before the band's first trip in 1964. What is the name of that Beatle?
I don't know.
You got a 1 in 4 guess here.
Yeah, I'm going Ringo.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is incorrect. Oh. Harrison, do you want to steal?
Okay, yes. But my original guess was Ringo as well.
Well, it's not Ringo.
Okay, I'm just going to go crazy. I mean, it's John.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's incorrect. The correct answer is George Harrison.
What?
All right. No points in that round. Oh. All right. Question number...
Now, Jeff, do you know what he did in the United States? He was just putzing around?
His sister was married to an American guy, so... came over to visit them in like Indiana or something, but actually like got on stage and played guitar with a local band. And yeah, so he had been here and gotten a feel for it.
Okay.
All right. Question number 5. Harrison, are you ready?
Yeah.
This one, I have a feeling you're going to get this one. Where did Ringo first learn to play the drums?
At a hospital. He was in a coma for 2 whole months and he had to stay there.
That is absolutely correct. Ding, 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 ding.
Correctamundo.
How long did he spend in the hospital? Do you remember?
He actually spent 3 years. He got sick the first time and was treated in the hospital when he was in his coma for the first year. And then he got sick again and went there for 2 years this time.
Yep. And wow. That's where he was first exposed to the drums.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. We got a game here. It's 3-1. Francis, you're going to have to step up, buddy. All right. Francis.
Can you ask me some like Metallica questions?
I'm feeling good about this one. I think you're going to get this right. One. Which Beatles album was the last to be recorded?
Abbey Road.
Correct. Correct.
That's my favorite.
It's a trick question, though.
Right.
What was
recorded
the
last?
Yeah.
But.
All right. Next question to Harrison. Which song was the Beatles' first single?
Please, Please Me?
You are correct, sir. Oh. Ding, ding, ding.
Nice.
Good job.
Good job.
Oh.
Nice knowing that. All right, Francis.
All right.
This one's going to stretch you.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. What was the name of the Beatles' manager?
Oh, I think I know this one. Is it Epstein?
Correctamundo.
Oh, that is correct. Okay. We'll accept Epstein. Okay. Yes, Brian Epstein.
No! That's I knew okay. that one.
All right, Harrison. Let's see if you know this one. The Beatles' last live concert in the U.S. was in which city?
I normally get an extra one at a rooftop in a building.
Now, I'm not asking about that one. What is the last one they played in America? What city?
I don't know.
Okay. All right, Francis, for the steal.
Tacoma?
Nope.
Oh!
No.
Which one?
The correct answer is San Francisco. Candlestick Park was the last concert. And we are now at our final question. And this goes to Francis. Again, the score is 4-3. All right, Francis.
All right.
Can you name the oldest and youngest Beatle?
Well, oldest would have to be one of the two living ones.
Oh, no, no, no. I mean, like in terms of birth date. So not necessarily.
Oh, so not.
So like in.
In theory, if they were all alive.
Well, during the era where they were all alive, who was the youngest? Who was the oldest?
Oh, okay. Jeez. I don't know. Ringo?
Is what?
Old?
Okay.
John? Young?
You lose! Good day, sir.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Francis, Harrison, for
you
the
know
steal.
The
do you know the answer?
It was George. George is the youngest.
George is the youngest, and?
Ringo is the oldest.
All right, Harrison's got that one. Yes, all right, we have one bonus question here.
All right.
All right, real quick. This is totally subjective. Francis,
yeah.
Name the best Beatle.
Oh, I know this one.
The best Beatle?
Yeah.
I know the answer.
George Harrison.
Harrison?
Ringo. You love Ringo the most.
I'm sorry. I named you after George Harrison.
I know that. I know that.
So Francis gets the bonus question, but it's not enough. And Harrison is going to take the game with a
good
final
job,
score
well played.
Of 5-4. Our new Knight of the Sonic
the
Temple.
Knight of the Sonic
Enjoy
Temple.
Your title there, buddy.
I will defend my crown next time. I will be back, people.
Yes.
Harry, thank you so much for coming on here. I hope this helped make
Thanks.
Your birthday a little extra special because you make every day of my life extra special. And I love talking music with you and I love being your dad. So thanks for being here, buddy.
You're right, Dad. You do need to do a lot of editing.
I know. I know. This is going to be murder.
Harrison, happy birthday to the newly appointed Knight of the Sonic Temple. This is most likely our last episode for a while as we head into the holidays. We'll get some episodes in the bank and come back to you sometime in the new year. So please take care, spare a second to rate and leave a review. Help us get the word out. Let's try and get some more fellow music nerds to join us. All right. Everyone out there, thanks for listening. Stay cool, stay safe, be excellent. Come to the Sonic Temple and join the three of us discuss three songs. Big thanks to Legends Radio for use of their music on our intro and outros.